Call our meeting to order. We've got road and bridge things. Frank, where do you want to start?
Good morning.
Good morning.
How about we start at the beginning?
Start at the first? Okay.
This is 1-1, huh?
That's way back there.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's the beginning.
That's what he said.
I'm just thinking it's kind of a long...
We need more than 45 minutes,
yeah,
I think.
We might need more than a time.
Did any of you get a chance to review that email I sent back to the Army Corps and yourselves yesterday?
I did not.
No. I did. Yeah, yesterday I did.
Okay. I did send an email. If you could review it and see if there's any comments you want to add or delete to that. I think we'll sort of use that as a framework maybe to move forward with what we're working with the Army Corps.
I thought you recapped everything just fine.
Okay. The one question I have in this letter that I'm to draft in regards to the two roads that are access roads for private property.
Mm-hmm. The Lightning Springs thing, is that right?
Lightning Springs and...
Shady Springs.
Am I understanding it correctly that the commission is willing to take in the roads for county maintenance, that the Corps will relinquish those roads to the county for county maintenance at minimum standards?
Class 6,
low maintenance, and...
What we understood from Mr. Case yesterday, and I think he repetitively said it, is we are going to consider those county roads now. They've never said that before. We need some documentation from them or something before he writes that down, but he mentioned it twice yesterday,
you know,
after I asked him, and he said we will consider them county roads now.
Well, I don't know if he understands we have county roads and we have county maintenance program. We didn't go into that detail.
Uh-huh.
And to answer your question, I don't think we've voted on, we have not voted yet on Lightning Springs, so we probably need to have that discussion. Are those roads going to be county maintained or just in the county road system?
Or just fall into the county road system. The one gentleman, I don't remember his name, he calls Randy on a very regular basis, almost every two or three days, in regards to the financing situation of the home being built back there.
Right.
So, for a clear sense of direction, the letter is to be to the commission and not to the Corps. I guess I'm lost on what we're trying to say in this letter.
Well, I apologize for not being there. One thought that, from what I just heard now, is maybe we look at these, looking at them like I think I heard you say, Danny, that we are going to maintain them very minimally, mm-hmm. like a road grader a year mm-hmm. or something like that.
Right.
Very minimum, mm-hmm. just a rough road. And look at them. I don't know that we want to take them into the county system as Fruit Farm Road or something.
Right.
Yeah.
But look at them in the same respect that we look at a road to a cemetery that we
cross.
Look at
once or twice a year
and maintain. Those cemetery roads aren't part of our system, are they? That's my question. That's where I go.
No.
And I would look at these. If they're just giving us the rights to them or a lease or something like that where they're not dedicated to the county, that we look at them in that respect, that we don't add them to our system because it's going to be super minimum. That's my thought.
Yeah, that's the way I'm
and I'm good with that.
Absolute minimum. One thing that I think we need to know the distance on both of them, that it crosses that actual Corps crossing because it ends Corps crossing.
One of them's
here's the question, gentlemen. We don't take the road any further than across the Corps.
And I think to what you're saying, I think, is Randy has got the map,
mm-hmm.
and there's going to be a, use the map as the description or mm-hmm. how it's identified. And so I think I hear what you're saying. The one that I was looking at was, it's going to stop here. We're not going to...
Yeah.
It's been used on around all the way along the bank. We're not going to do that.
No.
We're going to stop right here.
And I think that when we send it in, we have Randy do the cul-de-sac on the end, just like he does, like he's done on every other one that they requested yesterday. They had no problem with the cul-de-sacs. We put a cul-de-sac right on the end of it, and that's where county maintenance ends, because we don't go on unless we take those. One of them has three or four homes at the end of it, and the other one just has one home.
But you say a cul-de-sac. We're not necessarily going to build a cul-de-sac.
Well,
we're just going to have
turnaround.
Room for a turnaround.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a place for the grader to turn around. We're not going to build a cul-de-sac like we think of normally.
No, right? but the thing of it is, they'll let us right now. Then the way I understand it, they'll let us build a turnaround. I mean, when Rich put on the paper, he said, "Let's go ahead and use the 50 or 60 feet yesterday as our standard for core crossings, like we did on the other. I think it's 50 feet."
They wanted to standardize the language.
Standardize the language. And then
I think it'd be great to have it noted where we're turning around, but I don't want us to take on the liability of building much turnaround or cul-de-sacs.
Well,
I don't know how many we're talking about, but I'm guessing
two.
Oh, you're talking two?
Yeah, just at the end of each road, as you go to the end of the road for maintenance, we have a cul-de-sac there to turn around and come back out.
Okay, so
and it's on the core.
Make sure I understand is that we're talking about a turnaround on non-core property, or no, turnaround on core property.
Or on core property, on the end of our section of core.
Whatever we're maintaining or leasing.
Yeah.
Okay. And the turnaround, I think turnaround cul-de-sac, it's a cul-de-sac in size, but we're just going to...
Turnaround.
It's like the turnaround we did over, what was the first place we went to, Yandell?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that wasn't a full cul-de-sac. I mean, that wasn't 120 feet across. I mean, it was a turnaround, but it was like, whatever, 80?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think what we did is made a turnaround for a grader or a truck, and that was it. That's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Not creating a cul-de-sac where it's 120 and...
Well, just a turnaround.
Just a turnaround.
So it's a description, and it says there is a turnaround at the end of this county road on the core property, because that's what they're willing to give right now. I don't suspect that they'll give that in the future. But right now, they're setting a standard of 60-foot road or a 50-foot road with a turnaround.
With a turnaround.
Can Randy indicate on the map that if I'm on the right track, that
yeah.
here's a turnaround, this is the end, and this is where we're going to turn around?
That's what they requested. Yeah.
And actually, that's what they're going to attach, whatever the contract is, they're going to attach a map.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they said. They'd rather just do a map, an aerial picture of the easements and the turnaround on a map is what they would
with
like.
With no survey or nothing.
No survey to keep the cost down.
So going backwards, I would suggest that we call them, just like we call the cemetery roads, I'd suggest that we call these core roads.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
They're giving them for us to maintain, but they're core roads that we're maintaining.
Right. We're going to run a grader on it once or twice a year.
You know if they'll accept that, because they said we're considering
now,
these
I'm
down
just,
on the core
I'm just
roads.
Saying in our vocabulary, when
yeah.
we're talking about roads, we can call them county roads.
Right.
Well, they'll be a county road.
Right.
We're going to maintain them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But
for our internal purposes, we call them core roads.
Or a class 7, maybe, if you want to do that. A class 7, I don't care. But
yeah.
it's a twice a year.
Or once a year, twice a year. But what about this River Run deal? Is it going to be somewhere the same
yeah.
thing?
Did we talk about River Run?
We forgot to yesterday.
We need to add River Run.
Yeah, I just saw it here.
We'd send it in at the same time. And we can call... Mark Casey.
Is that right across
yeah,
the lake?
Across the lake.
Yeah, we didn't talk about that.
No, we forgot to. I mean, we had too many.
I think we've talked to him before about it,
yeah.
and I think they're more than happy for us to do a little tip.
Well, the one thing it's on Empire property, isn't it? Wasn't that what the deal was?
I think it goes to Empire property. That's their access, but I think the road is probably on core property. I'm guessing now.
Might talk to Mark and ask him, Mark Case, ask him about that. So we left that out of the conversation, which had been mentioned previously as the same standard of county road. Would you want to put it like that?
OK. care how we're saying.
Same standard of core county road, something like that.
We just want it to be in the same
packet.
Agreement, yeah.
For all intents and purposes, this letter is from, I'm assuming, from the commission to the two property owners that have these access problems through core property. And basically, the letter will state something to the effect that you have a legal right of access and the road will become a county road, also or otherwise known as
county
core road.
That's what I would do. I'd put county core road.
Yeah, I'm behind on the letter.
They requested it.
The two property owners. But the thing that we need is an agreement with the Corps.
Which may take a long time. And that's my fear. It's going to take a long time. And this one gentleman has a pressing need to have something in writing from a governmental agency that says he has legal right to have access to his property.
And Mark Case, yesterday with the Corps, told us to write the letter.
Yes.
Okay. So that needs to be in the letter, that the Corps has given us permission to maintain the road and an agreement is forthcoming. And
he went as far as to say, we don't care what you do, if you charge them for the maintenance or whatever. Yeah. Now, see, that's was in their mindset, but we're not going to do that. But, I mean, that's what they said. We don't care what you do. You can charge them for it or whatever. So
I'm going to go through a list of things that I have, and then...
So you have direction on the letter, then?
I do.
Okay.
Perfectly crystal clear sense of
direction. As long as you've got what you need, I want to make sure we resolve something today, and we can...
I'll go through a bunch of things, and then I think we'll wrap it up with the cost to maintain county roads report. Unless you'd rather I start there and then...
Go ahead and go through that list.
Yeah, let's get the easy stuff out of the way.
This is a picture of Brown Mountain Road the other day after we dodged the bullet on the snowstorm. This is the one we're talking about up on Brown Mountain where we have a need for that bridge to be built. Mm-hmm. Another problem in that picture, across the stream there in the creek, there's a continual washout here that after every event like this, we have an area of about 100 feet that we need to repair and wash out. And, so that need for that bridge isn't going to go away. And I just wanted to show you the actual condition of this. It was posted on both sides. That we weren't allowed to cross at the time.
How many citizens on the other side?
Half a dozen homes, maybe. They can get out to each highway.
There is another way out. I don't know exactly the number of people, but it's used more frequently than I thought.
Okay.
This is a school bus route. Mm. So it makes it difficult for them. During our last meeting, we spoke about littering, and you had asked me to get information from our county court system as to the number of cases that have been prosecuted in the past couple of years. So I have a report from 2007 to 2009. There were a total of 10 cases that were prosecuted for littering, and the fine is typically $25 to up to $150, which is a pretty low fine for what's commonly done. The reason I bring it up is I've talked about doing something educational at the schools. We did make that press release. I did have several calls in regards to that press release that people are concerned with the littering in Taney County. We've had people come pick up bags to do some cleanup on them on their own. I would like to further investigate this by actually looking into signage, the cost of signage in the appropriate places. Coon Creek is one that strikes me as needing to be signed. And with your okay, I'd just like to spend a little bit more time to see what it would take. There are statutes in Missouri state law that would allow us to sort of piggyback on that law and enforce these issues with that. I just want to see if you're in agreement or if I should let it drop at this point in time. This year, for some reason, it really seems to be a lot of roadside debris out there.
I'm in favor of you doing something. Don't want you to use all your time on it, of course.
No, absolutely not. So like a signage program, look at signage, look at a fine system, talk to Jimmy, see if it's something that we should further pursue.
I'm not real hot on signs. I don't know that signs are going to do any good myself, but I don't care for you to look at it.
I guess the process, there's... Are you expecting people, the deputies, to enforce pullover people?
If they saw it happening, I would, yeah.
Okay.
I'd say that's where the 10 cases came from, either the highway patrol or deputies.
I've been told that by law enforcement folks over the years that unless they actually see it happen,
right,
they can go find trash with your name on it that says, this is my trash.
Right.
And they can't do anything about it. It won't stick. They've got to see it or have a citizen see it and testify to it, is my understanding.
Maybe look at other avenues or venues to get an anti-littering message out there. Maybe the website would be one. Maybe.
Well, my thing is I just don't want to pay for a bunch of signs that I could spend that same dollar in man hours and go pick up the trash.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So just be mindful of the cost associated with whatever program we're looking at. So
maybe just more of an awareness type program.
I would think so. But you may want to get clarification from the sheriff's office, too, what their process is.
I think that's probably a good place to start.
See, what do they do? What does he tell his deputies to do? I mean, how hard is... I mean, I'd almost want to find more detail.
About what? I think that's at 1 o'clock.
That's correct. Isn't it 1 o'clock today here? 1 o'clock?
Yeah. The agenda's right there on the bulletin board. I'm pretty sure it's 1 o'clock.
Scoping for flood control, is that today?
At 1 o'clock. I think it's 1 o'clock.
To the left there, Bobby, just...
Mapping.
Straight down now.
I think it's listed as mapping, isn't it? Scoping or mapping of flood control. I don't want to leave this issue right here yet.
I don't either. Why did this come up today? Have we had discussion on Round Mountain Bridge?
No, it was at a high water condition the other day. I just wanted you to physically see what the high water condition looks like on Round Mountain. It was just happenstance, no calls, nothing, just...
Okay. Up the road.
Beyond the structure?
Before you leave this, and are you finished with the other? Are we finished with the litter?
Littering, I think so.
Okay.
We're asking you to be sure I'm clear on that. We're asking you to do... visit with law enforcement first.
Yes.
And if you want to get price on signs, that's fine, but it doesn't sound like there's a big hip movement for that.
Well, I just don't want to spend a lot of money on signs when
we
could. I'd rather just
I'd
rather just pay someone to mount it to work what do we have? Not work release? What do we have those people in yellow, the orange jumpsuit sometimes?
Yeah. Right. But we tried that last year. We haven't had
state. I don't think the county has ever done that. But the county, some counties do that.
Some counties. I mean, I'd rather just have a person from Road and Bridge to manage those people if we're going to do trash control.
And that might be the best use of your time or somebody's time. We've looked at that numerous times. And
used to be that
maybe
way.
We could get through with it this time because of insurance and things.
We tried a work release program last summer and probably had a total of 6 people work for us at one at a time for a period of a week or so. We never had a group like MoDOT gets large groups and go in a van. But I understand through Gene that they used to do that here a long time ago.
Used to do it all the time ago. We had one man that was a supervisor, and he supervised a whole truckload or van load of people. When you go back to signage, I think that a sign on the back of the dump truck tailgate that said something about littering would be better than putting signs on every county road. Then when they're following a county truck, they are reminded, please don't litter, or please keep our roads beautiful, or something like that, on the back of county vehicles, other than trying to distribute signs and nobody will pay attention to throughout the county, and you got a lot less cost, and the message is out there.
I think it's a good idea because it's
or it's slogan.
It's a moving message. If we could come up with a good slogan and
slogan under the under the
people who don't pollute.
Yep.
Yeah, I hadn't done before.
Doesn't have to be a brand new slogan. We could use somebody else's.
But anyway, that's my
kind of beautiful or something.
That's.
Okay.
You wanted to talk about this in further detail?
Yes. Up just as you cross here, there's two ways to get out on this road. One is to H Highway, and the other road goes down, and it's been a matter of controversy. And we have had people come before the commission to speak, and we have a stretch of road that is gravel, the only stretch of road that is gravel on that whole area up there on Round Mountain. And there's some reasoning behind why we haven't. I don't know whether the water gets up over that part of it, whether it's kind of like the Bull Creek deal, or
it's just beyond this section.
It's to the left,
yes.
And as you come back out to Round Mountain, on the left hand, there's a stretch of road.
Water gets over it.
What is the guy's name? Nagel or
Regan? Isn't it?
Regan.
Walter Regan.
Walter Regan.
Riggins. Walter Riggins.
Riggins, maybe. Mm-hmm.
It's a high maintenance stretch of road, and the reason is because it does get underwater at certain times, and that water. Velocity of the water creates damage on that road. Randy and I have talked about the only way to avoid that would be to remove that, to require right away, remove that row of trees and raise the road up by about 4 to 6 feet up on the next ledge up above the road.
For that, is it a couple hundred yards or something like that?
Yeah. It's the worst section of the road.
Because he's been in here, he's talked to us about it. I don't think we've ever come to resolve on, and it may be because of the cost, but if we're talking about the cost of a bridge here, I'd like to consider maybe trying to work on.
We can see if
that also maybe get another cost estimate on it or do something. If we're going to look at this, I think we better look at that.
I agree.
We can check into the feasibility of acquiring right-of-way from that property owner in that section of the road that's constantly damaged.
Is the case if we went ahead and chip and sealed that the chip and seal is going to wash out right away? Is that why we haven't done it? Is what you're saying?
It has to be concrete.
Yeah.
Or get it out of water.
And that might even, under certain extreme storm conditions, have a problem staying there.
I don't think that we've ever explained that to Walter.
It's also a bus route. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think he even works for school, I think.
He used to work for school, yeah. I think he's retired now.
But
do you think he owns the property that we're talking about?
I don't know. He came before the commission and spoke, two or three years ago. But what I'm saying is, if we look at this and we start talking about this, I want to look at that other also. More or less in the same sentence is the way I'm putting it.
Okay. I'll check into several different things there.
Okay.
One is talking to Mr. Riggins and one is talking to the property owner adjacent to that. For the past month or so, I've been working with the crews and the supervisors to come up with lists of equipment that we feel can either be parked and or sold. The list is pretty extensive. I've spoke with several equipment manufacturer representatives. This is a horrible time to be getting rid of equipment. So we have a total of 10 or 11 pieces of equipment that supervisors from both sides have told me that they would consider removing from the fleet and or parking for the purpose of removing insurance on them. I'm seeking direction on how we want to move forward. I can get numbers from Dixie as to the insurance savings by taking parking them for long term. Several of them are obvious. We have two 10-wheelers not 10-wheelers, they're actually single-axle trucks on the west side that are infrequently used, have high mileage, and heavy maintenance into the vehicle. So those, if they're not used, they have high mileage and they're costing us money to keep on the road. We should obviously get rid of those. I'm not sure that the county auction is the best place to...
There's a surplus. There's countywide surplus equipment, surplus companies that work for this in the state. I mean, there's lots of avenues besides the county auction.
Okay.
I think automobiles would probably be the part of the, maybe some trucks, but
the rationale for doing the county auction before is not necessarily that we get the best money, but we keep those we feel like are something that somebody uses, and they feel like if they want the constituents to have the opportunity to do that. So wherever you do it, I think you need to have make sure that the constituents that are aware of it will pick up an opportunity. That's been the rationale.
I was thinking about someone like Mr. Gideon that has a company that his sole purpose is to go to people like ourselves and help them sell equipment versus an auction type.
So let's go through your list here. We could talk about the avenue in which you get rid of it, but what are we talking about besides two 10-wheelers, you said?
Two 10-wheelers, single-axle dump trucks, actually. A 1993 low deck trailer that we had our hot tank on that exploded, and it's because of its design, it's not really made well for moving equipment.
What's it going to be good for selling purposes? Is somebody going to be able to put a water tank on it, or are they going to be able to do what?
It's described as a low deck trailer used for the hot tank. The reason its design is
curvature, right?
The angle of the gooseneck and the height of the deck itself.
We don't use it anymore?
It was long-term used for the storage as a mobile platform for the oil hot tank that exploded last year.
So we don't need it anymore?
Correct.
We can't use it to haul equipment?
No.
Okay.
And we have plenty of other trailers to do that. We have a John Deere 310 SE backhoe with a breaker on it, high hours and lots of mechanical problems. The Ettinger chip spreader, Ettinger had previously, the company that sold us our last chip spreader, had shown interest in wanting this particular machine for themselves to rebuild. At one time they had mentioned something to the effect of $15,000 to $20,000. To purchase that piece of equipment. It's of no use to us at all, not even for spare parts, because the parts are not interchangeable anymore.
And it's absolutely no use for emergency cases or anything?
No, it's not operable. It has metal in all of the hydraulic systems.
Can we hesitate there just a second? If that seems to be a no-brainer, do we want to put it out for sale and let the people know that's interested at $15,000-$20,000, be sure they know about it and put it on the market someplace.
Through Linda?
Through Linda or ever how?
Well, Linda and Rick. I mean, let either one of them.
As long as you offer it to the public, I don't think you're having trouble with it. However you do it, when you do it online, when you do it wherever. But I think, even if you went through.
But we need a reasonable price established too. I think it'd be important for us to have some way that we've substantiated the price so it doesn't look like we lowballed an item so that someone got a benefit from us.
Well, if it's offered to public venue, then...
I would just like to make sure that we're not leaving money on the table, but we're not pricing ourselves where we're not going to find a buyer either.
Mm-hmm.
Could you get an estimate, you think?
I can talk to Ettinger again, the company that I spoke with before.
That's where I would start.
And then we could then come back and say, let's post it on the website and we'll make it public that we have a surplus auction or surplus sale.
You can post those things a lot of different places. I've actually posted some of the things that we wanted to sell on Craigslist and I said we will sell to the highest bidder by a certain date, and you can do that. You know, that covers you that way.
Can you seal bid those stuff?
You can seal bid anything.
On Craigslist?
On Craigslist, I doubt you can seal bid, no.
And that, electronically you can't, but on by here we could if we're doing it. But I would also, I mean, if the trailer is no good for anything else, I would include
the trailer
and the chip seal machine for sure.
Those are two items for sure.
I'm a little hesitant on the truck, but we can come back.
The two trucks and the backhoe, I think, needs to be either.
We need to talk about that a little more. Yeah. What else do you have here, Liz?
Are you comfortable with that?
Yes.
The chip and the trailer?
Yes.
Okay. Move on.
If you'd like, at another point in time, we could bring in the supervisors to discuss these in detail as to why.
That might be good.
Barber Green belt conveyor, which was previously used in the production of cold mix out at the hill at the Hilda Quarry. We're not producing cold mix anymore, and we have no use for it.
Next.
Keep it?
I'm just saying, what's your next one?
Yeah, that's not an easy one.
That's questionable.
There is an equipment trailer, 28-foot long equipment trailer that was used to haul backhoes. I guess it was involved in an accident, was put back together, and it's an additional one that probably hasn't been used in a year. So we have an additional, not a large lowboy type thing. This is 28 feet long and was involved in an accident.
That's another option, Adam. Go ahead.
And the other side has two dump trucks also, high mileage, with the number of personnel down. These two trucks are being parked because of their high mileage and age and not being used on a regular basis.
What are they? Ten wheelers, but heavy? Not the
these
others?
These are 10 wheelers.
Dual. I mean, the other, what you're separating the two, so one of them are those light Fords that are on the west side, and the others are what on the east side?
Internationals.
Those two internationals?
2003 internationals.
They're not very old, but they're well used with lots of maintenance. Those were the, we bought four or five of those at one time, and they have been nothing but lemons. The reason they're not used, because they break down every time they use them.
Is there more information you'd like me to gather about this equipment?
I don't see any need to. I think there's about three items on there that you get rid of any way that you can get rid of it, and the other needs to be put up to auction, public auction, available to the, like you said, to the constituents of the county who help pay for it.
Are you saying you're good with the whole list, selling the whole list then?
I wasn't with the trucks.
Okay.
But those trucks need to be, they're not of any use to us. We send somebody out on them, we spend more time going and getting them and fixing them than we do with the use of them.
So with the proceeds of the sale, are you going to come back and ask us to buy a piece of equipment?
No.
Okay.
We don't anticipate any equipment for the next year or so.
Okay. Would you mind putting that in the email to us? And maybe just an explanation. It'd be great if you said, we haven't used it in a while. What is that? Is that 3 months? Is that 7, 8, 9 months? And you say maintenance is expensive. Is it, we've spent how much money in the last year or two? That would help me be able to substantiate. And
yeah.
It just be,
item.
Yeah, and then we can come back and say, if we're going to do all of them or 90%, let's do it all at one time versus three now and three next week and 3 weeks from now. So maybe just send us an email would you also include Rick in the email?
Okay.
That way, and then maybe Linda also, because she can kind of be in the loop of everything.
The most value probably to that one trailer you're talking about is the steel and the axles, the ones that the trailer for the hot mix, hot oil trailer. Mm-hmm. the way it's configured, it's, but that 28-foot trailer that's been redone, we use it in emergency cases.
We do.
It's been moved, it's moved equipment when we had something else that was being used or moved or broke down or whatever. We've used it in emergency cases. But if it would be something that would sell probably pretty good, it, but it needs to be, it'll have to have a,
disclaimer
on it. It'll have to be explained it's been wrecked and all that. But the other stuff, I can't see keeping those old trucks around that tear up on a regular basis. I did yesterday receive some complaints there about snow removal in the Pro Tem area. We have improved, and we're in an improving process for us, where we adjust to get snow removal, and weather conditions across the county makes a lot of difference in what the performance level is of snow removal. Is selling these trucks, is that going to put a bad taste in some people's mouth that says, hey, we're not getting our road clean now, and you're selling equipment? You know what I'm saying?
I do.
They could, but if he can say that we haven't used them in a while,
right?
Because they're old, I mean, not because we don't have the personnel, but they're old because they break down, their maintenance costs, that would help us be able to say to the constituents, yeah, we aren't using them anyway because they're just parts.
Yeah, right. So I just want to kind of keep our bases covered and keep this, like I said, these need to be offered to the people, the taxpayers that have helped pay for them and put up to auction and what they bring. I think that has been the consensus of sales in the past, is that that gives every Taney County citizen the option to buy this equipment.
Understood. I'll bring back more information and particulars. On to the next subject of sick leave use in Taney County Road and Bridge. November 7th of 2008, I sent out a memo that discussed the frequency of Monday and Friday sick leave use. When I fill out timesheets, I can almost guarantee you that every 2 weeks, between 12 and 18 people will take Mondays and Fridays as a sick leave day, and write down on the timesheet doctor's visit or doctor's appointment. And my request at that point in time was, this memo shall serve as notice on how sick leave being used for doctor's visits should be handled. All employees using sick leave hours to seek medical attention will be required to provide written verification of the appointment in the form of a copay receipt or a doctor's note. When we get a timesheet on Wednesday and they're telling me that they'll go to the doctor on Friday, I don't see that there's not a reason that they can't provide a medical slip or receipt for that visit. And this seemed to work for 6 or 8 months after the memo went out. I'd just like to inform you that I'd like to send that memo out again, just as a reminder, if they're going to write down the doctor's visit, and they're truly going to the doctor, then I think that we should have some type of verification of that doctor's visit.
But that doesn't require them. I mean, that's not the only way they can get sick leave.
No, absolutely not. There's people that call in sick that don't go to the doctor also. But what I'm saying is, if I'm filling out a timesheet on a Wednesday afternoon or signing those timesheets Wednesday or Thursday, and they've put Friday down as a doctor's visit.
Mm-hmm. Right, I understand what you're saying there.
Okay.
I'm just trying to read this from a cold turkey type of not having. I don't want to make this letter to come across as we're against them using sick leave. We're against the abuses.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, and just, I don't know if it's being read that way. Yeah, and yeah, just that's a, just a, maybe a random thought that
as a county, we're not against them using sick leave if they're sick, but we just we want to stop this any abuses that are taking place if there is.
Let me say something. I run into, it's funny that this happened like this.
Okay.
This last weekend, I run into an HR person from another business in Branson, and we were actually discussing this very issue, and she said that they give their employees, she said, it's surprising that I run on to employees on that have turned in sick leave time that will be at a soccer game or a basketball game or this and that. And I said, what do you do about those situations? And she said, well, our company policy that we give them 10 chances. If we see that happen, it's posted and wrote down, and it's documented. And after the 10th time, they're terminated. Now,
that's a high number.
That is a high number. That's what I said to her. That's exactly what I said to her.
You've already heard that saying.
But here's what she said: the abuse. Then they know that somebody's watching the abuse, and they don't know that they've been counted or dated or whatever on the abuse. And she said it's cut way down on the number of times. And I said, how many people have you terminated? She said, one since we implemented it.
Wow.
Back in the 90s, a commissioner, none of you gentlemen, but a commissioner stated to county employees that sick leave is yours as a benefit, and it's to be either use it or lose it. And so it's been a long time in trying to
correct that.
The numbers in sick leave use have been coming down. And then on the other end of the spectrum of people that I think may or may not be abusing the sick leave is there are employees who do not call in sick a single day throughout the year, and there are several of those, and they continue to do that year after year. And they're losing 96 hours a year of sick leave. Not really losing it, but it's not accumulating anymore. You get up to a certain point, 400 hours or 380, 480. You get up to a certain number, then these people don't use any sick leave. So I'd like to be, and I mentioned this a year and a half ago, I'd like there to be some type of reward and or incentive for those people that don't use sick leave at all, because their coworkers may use 6, 8, 10, or 12 days of sick leave a year, and they make it a point to come to work every single day, year after year. And it's like the scales aren't balanced on.
Well, we've had this discussion just last year and came to a point of decision and didn't make one, or decided not to do it, one of the two. Forget how it played out. I'm happy for us to look at it again. I mean, I think it's kind of the second time it's come up in the last couple of weeks. So
I'm told the industry standard is moving towards eliminating sick personal. What they do is
it's all personal.
So many personal days off, paid time off, PTO days, something like that, and it eliminates a lot of problems they had before. I don't know about it except for I know that that's what.
The world that I came from, we didn't have sick days. It was just PTO, and you had paid time off, and you could use it for sick, or you could use it for personal days. It was just that. It was use it or lose it. Because the way we've got it right now with sick leaves, if we were going to reward those who didn't use it, we would need to make sure we're penalizing those who are abusing it. We'd have to have both sides of this whole thing. And right now, our enforcement part of this is lacking across the county. We're not consistent.
And the dilemma from our office, from the payroll office, is that we have people that those sick days, and I'm not sure what our policy says, whether they accumulate that on the first day or the last day of the month, we have people that board as soon as it's there.
It's used.
And some of them even try to get ahead and without proper people looking at the timesheets, they do sometimes get hit.
As Chuck has said, we did go through a big exercise to try to come to a solution for the sick time, and then we just stopped because I believe the urgency was had passed. But you know, I'm all for making sure that if we can change what we're doing, the process, like Rick was saying, that we can avoid the abuses. Let's change the process. But we just have to do some research and do some checking to see if they even do sick leave anymore. I mean, I don't know what government is. Obviously the whole thing is we can't do bonuses. We can't do incentives. Right. So we got to be real aware or cautious of that, how we look at that reward we're talking about or that was mentioned.
There's some long-term employees here that have been here over 10 years that their sick leave balance is zero.
Correct.
They get a day of sick leave, and shortly thereafter, that day of sick leave disappears off the books. There's some long-term employees here who have they have the maximum allowable on the books, and they're losing it every year. It creates a work environment where their coworkers are suspicious of them.
Hey, I got an email just now that says I can't hear Rick, so. So, yeah.
It is somebody really wanted to hear me, huh? The dilemma there is, you know, if you're managing those people properly, obviously all of us recognize which one of those employees is the best employee. And one of the things that we could do there is we could have annual review of those employees, and that might be an indication of whether which of those might be more due to a raise or more. That's one of the things, but the management is the real key there, I think. But I agree with you, Frank. But as we're working on this, and I assume that there's still work being done on our personnel policy.
There is.
This would be a good time to have her look at that and see what she thinks about that and maybe get some feedback there.
She is she's out on vacation the last 10 days with spring break with her, so we're supposed to get back. We've met twice to get to a draft level. So anyway, there's still work being done, yes.
We do have the rights within our current policy to request a doctor's slip at any time, whether it be a one-day, two-day, or three-day event. If it's someone that's a heavy sick leave user, then we could request a doctor's slip every time that they're using sick leave on their books. So you're okay with this, if I maybe reword it a little bit?
I'm not.
You're not?
No. Okay. My thought is sometimes we make policies because of an issue, and the issue is a small number of employees. And this doesn't say enough, I don't think, and maybe you could reword it, but my thought is, as I'm listening to the rest of you talk here this morning, is Rick made a comment. It's pretty evident, I think, what I'm hearing said, okay. Is it's recognizable who might be abusing it. I just sit down one-on-one with them and say, it appears this way. Sick time is for when you're sick. And if you want to carry the conversation on to say that we're looking at it because it's really unfair, because we have people that don't use a sick day a year and they don't get anything out of it, and we have other employees that we're questioning are not really sick, that are abusing the system. And just up front, one-on-one, say, if that fits you, you're okay, but you need to stop it.
One-on-one is difficult. Would you be more open to the idea of a modified letter with some more verbiage in there talking about some of the things you just stated to those employees that are high sick leave abusers, and not send a letter out to the ones that don't use sick leave?
My first thought is, if we have an employee that's doing anything that we don't feel is up to standard, we ought to speak to them. Okay. One-on-one. Now, that's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
My thought is if there's abuses more than a couple, you know, if it's inconsistent but widespread, then a reminder letter is nothing wrong with that. But I would take with a modified letter, but I also would sit down one-on-one and address those issues right now that are if there are issues that you, if you can come up with three people in your head right now, then we need to be sitting down with you and Dixie and the employee having a meeting. It goes into the file that the meeting took place. But I still think a reminder letter is not bad at all. I'm kind of in between both.
Well, I can live with a modified letter, but I still think that if you have employees that you have strong idea that they're not, that they're abusing the policy, I just look at parenting. How do you spank a child for doing something wrong if you haven't told them it's wrong? They don't really know that they're breaking a rule and understand that. I know when I was a little kid, I didn't get a whipping one time because they hadn't told me not to do what I just did. But boy, next time, I knew darn sure well if I did that again, it was going to hurt on my rear end.
Everything that you're talking about kind of applies. I think that there's not a person here that works for the county that has worked over their 180 hours, they've got 180 hours of sick leave, that don't know every hour that they've got over that period of time. Because I've had people walk up to me and say, you know, you cut off at 480, but I've got 628, or I've got 800 and some odd hours. So they know, and also the other employees know. Now, to go back to what I said first time, I thought that was extreme, what that HR person told me about the 10 days. Wouldn't have to be 10 days. But the thing of it is like I said, how many of you had to terminate? And she said one since we implemented it. Those people quit doing that because they didn't know that somebody had seen them fishing or seen them at a game or this and that, and so they didn't know that they were documented. That's where an HR person comes in those circumstances, and that's whenever it really plays into that part of controlling that situation. Now, we have people, and one thing that's real confusing on sick leave, you know, you can wake up of a morning, and especially this year with the way this flu and stuff has went around, you can be sick for 2 or 3 days flat of your back and then be over it the next week and you haven't went to the doctor. So it's hard to say, well, that person wasn't sick and they didn't have a doctor's report. This is a very difficult deal, and I think Lynette would play a major right. role in what other counties do, what other cities do. And as this case was, they never had an HR person in this business that I'm talking about. It's a big business in Branson. And when they implemented this, because they were having trouble just like we're having with people abusing their sick leave policy. Sure. But it got the message across.
So what's our clear message to Frank at this point going to be?
Modify the letter. Give us another version of the letter.
Mm-hmm. Let us look at it.
And then
let Lynette review the letter before we send it out.
And that might get held up in process.
It will get held up in the process. I'm just trying to think.
Okay, well.
Let's slow the process.
I think we're going to review, part of the Lynette is to review the entire sick leave policy we've got and see what other counties are doing and governments and that when we redo the whole handbook or get a new version of the handbook or whatever she's working, what okay. we're working on, we can revise it. But I think based off of what I'm hearing, I would say modify the letter and send it out. But
to the?
Everybody. Don't send, unless you're reprimanded, I would send it to everybody just as a reminder. I mean, if this is a reminder letter, let's remind everybody.
Well, to Mr. Pennell's point, to the people that don't use any year after year, why would they they get the message loud and clear.
Then they put it on here, to those who don't abuse it, thank you.
I think that's an excellent point.
Then everyone gets the letter.
Exactly. Because we do appreciate those.
Oh, yes, yeah. Okay. It's hard to schedule work if you don't know if they're going to show up for work that day.
Right. Okay. How are we doing on time?
You got 2 minutes?
15 minutes.
Is it 9:45 or 9:30? 9. You got 15 more minutes.
Okay. Evaluations. Throughout Road and Bridge have been worked on for the past few months. We probably have 80% complete at this point in time. One particular branch of Road and Bridge returned evaluations after having several meetings about evaluations in and of themselves, and the evaluations came back to me almost blank. So I brought those people in, and we had a two-hour training session, and we went over the evaluation box by box as to what was expected when someone fills out an evaluation. I think it was time well spent, and they're in the process of redoing those evaluations at this point in time. So in several weeks, 100% completion of evaluations across the board. We are doing evaluations a little different than we have in the past, in that we're spending more time in the process and also meeting with the person one-on-one, really talking out the issues, both pro and con, good and bad, and then documenting that for each individual person. So just want to let you know that was an ongoing process, and we're almost complete with that.
Are you going to share an executive session maybe? Can we review the, go through these evaluations?
If you'd like to.
I mean, part of the whole process is I want to know what you're seeing by individual, and I think it'd be good use of at least my time to know who are the potential stellar employees mm-hmm. and ones of concern. Okay. I mean, I'd like to know that.
Sounds good to me.
We do evaluations.
Yep.
So, but it needs to be an executive so we can talk freely with about the employees' names and things.
Okay.
You know, even though this year is not, it's evaluations are not tied to raises. You know, but if things get worse, they may be tied to employment.
Right.
I don't see things getting worse, but I hope not. Well, but reality is reality.
Right.
If sales tax drops another 20% for the rest of the year, like it did last month, we have some tough decisions at the end of the year.
Next subject, I'm working with Linda Gifford and Debbie Redford.
Correct.
In regards to clean diesel grant mm-hmm. amongst the local counties, there's $35,000 available, and I'll be looking into our equipment and see if there's any repowering issues, high mileage motors, or things of that nature, where we may qualify for this grant application. And meeting with the mechanics to discuss that particular process. There's a deadline of April 16th on that, so I want to make sure that we're not bypassing any opportunities for not only from an emissions standpoint, but maybe repower a unit that has high miles on it and be able to get a motor for almost 75% off. I think it's 25% match. Just for your information, Monday after the heavy rain was heavy rains over the weekend, it was what I would refer to as a rain day, and that's the third time that's happened this year. Spring cleanup, you asked me to bring back the fact whether it should be 50-50 cost split between Road and Bridge and transfer station. I have a bill for $7,700 of what it cost us last year, actually $7,600 for the rental of the bins and the disposal of the solid waste that was in those bins. I wondered if you had given it any more thought. 100% Road and Bridge, 50-50, 100% transfer station. Comes out of our rental account, which we have about $35,000.
The way I looked at that was the bins and all that was transfer station, and the employees' time and that they put in is so I never did know why we switched from the 50-50. We switched to 100% road and bridge 3 years ago, two or three years ago. But when we had the bends and added the bends and all that, we went back to 50-50, and then it was 100% road and bridge again. So I don't understand where the inconsistency lies. I'm good with the 50-50 myself, because the bends and the trash and our stuff that are brought in and put in the bends are roll-off type situations. Doesn't have to be... Am I right, Rick? That's what
it makes sense to me that it would be portioned out that way, yes.
Well, I'll repeat myself, and I'll be happy to have a good reason to go to 50-50. But my thought is, when we take the 50% out of transfer station, those dollars come from people that use the transfer station. And that's our commercial haulers and our individuals that haul their own trash there. Is that right? That's where those dollars come from.
Yes. It's a service that we provide. The transfer station, if I understand it right, the reason we did that was to make sure that the county was kept clean. And to me, that's part of what this is. So it matches and meets the goals of the transfer station, too.
But my point is, the dollars that we're going to be using, if we use that 50%, are dollars that are paid by the people that use the transfer station. And should that part of the taxpayers be paying for cleaning up for other people to get to dump for free is what it amounts to? That's the question I have.
I don't know.
I mean, I can see that argument that the good thing is for the transfer station that those funds can be spent anyway. The county commission feels that we don't have to spend it back on the transfer station. But I can see that point. I mean, but... I just don't see why, I don't see why road and bridge should pick up the 100%. If nothing, then it's just going to come from GCR.
And if
that's the case, then we would transfer money from the transfer station to GCR because we have an extra surplus budget over there. But I just don't know. I don't believe road and bridge should pick up the whole brunt of it. That's where I'm at. Does half it come from transfer or half it come from GCR? I'm fine with where that half comes, but I just don't think the road and bridge should pick it all up.
Well, I could see using GCR.
Uh-huh.
That would make sense, because that's benefiting the whole county.
Okay.
And the whole county's contributing to that tax base.
If the transfer station is not benefiting the whole county, then we need to get out of it as a governmental entity. That's my opinion. Yes, it does show a profit sometimes, Chuck, but when it shows a profit, that profit is held because we know we're going to have more equipment.
Okay. After me, this, do we keep the funding separate for the transfer?
We do keep the funding separate.
Okay. Why? If it's a benefit for the whole county, why do we bother keeping it separate?
That was the way it's set up, and I don't know that it necessarily needed to be set up that way, but that was the way it's set up, and I got into office, so we continued to keep it that way. But it's not meant to be a profit situation. If it's a profit situation, we probably need to be shutting it off to private entity.
I agree 100%. It is to serve the need that people dump in their trash.
I could argue either way, but
it's only profitable because we haven't completed the renovations to reinvest to
Absolutely.
Make it more efficient. So to say it's profitable, you could look at a snapshot of 2009 and say it's very profitable.
You're right.
At the end of 2010, you're going to say it's a break-even operation.
And that's why I said, because of the equipment stuff that we need to buy, that's why that's there.
And my thought is that exactly what I agree. Yep. It was set up to not be a profit. It was set up to provide the service that was needed so people didn't have to haul their trash to Springfield or Reed Springs or someplace
right.
like that.
Or just dump it in the county. That was what we were really trying to keep it from, yes.
Well, then let's do a 50-50 split between road and bridge and GCR.
It's good by me.
Okay. Like I said... Then when we get around to it, we'll transfer the money from transfer station to GCR. So, but that's fine with me.
Not necessarily.
Not my opinion.
I believe that if you look back at historically, I believe that probably transfer station does owe GCR. There was a big portion of GCR that
started
moved
it out.
Through there, started out, and it's never been repaid.
I can go so, along with that. Yeah,
you know,
but to take otherwise, I don't. I'd have to look at that pretty sure. hard. Okay,
that'd be fine.
50 GCR, 50 Roden Bridge.
Yeah,
I have about 6 minutes to do 30 minutes worth of work.
Oh, you could do it.
This is Randy's estimate on Blue Ridge. It's segmented into three different...
I already have a copy.
You
like killing trees? Is that what you're like?
You said it didn't happen. I
was on my
desk.
Already,
I got one.
It was on my desk just like this.
I got one just like it.
I asked him, I guess.
We recycled.
Well, I didn't have this, though. I didn't have this extra, but I had my own notes. It's upstairs.
Okay, we don't need to spend much time on it, then.
I have seen this first page myself, which is... We're looking at about $50,000 if we did the whole ball of wax. Is that right? 15, 15.
To get to,
yes.
15. And that to get to this side of the
33 to get down to the bottom, and then with a low water concrete crossing would be an additional 20 plus. So yes, 50 to cross, 33 to get down to the bottom.
So
with ditches, new culverts.
We're talking $80,000. 50 and 33 is 83, right?
Talking 33 and 20.
We got 15, three time, 15,
15. 33 to the bottom 15, of the hill.
I had 100,000, I'm going off my memory downstairs. Okay, so you're saying 15.
First segment is 15 to 18. Second segment is 15. And crossing the creek at the bottom is 15 to 20.
With minimal, the minimal structure.
Yeah.
Low water concrete crossing.
Now, if you went to a bridge or something with or big boxes, then your $100,000 what you were thinking of that,
right?
For and that was, structure.
My question is, in high water, it's not passable.
That's true.
Okay. would we be preventing the erosion? Is that what we're doing when we do this low water option?
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to be going upstream in the creek beds to make sure it's not going to erode what we're building at that low water?
We would make it, design it so that it'd be not destroyed during high water conditions, but also...
We'd be doing this, in my opinion, Round Mountain.
Yes, something similar to that, to where you'd go in there with a loader of some type, clear the slab, and you're ready to go for until the next event.
Or you could even go
stable enough that it would be eroded.
What, yes. King Creek used, or...
And
so
Mr.
My guess to say 45,000, then you're saying 45 to 50
to get to the bottom of the hill.
No.
Yes. 15 is
first segment.
Is the first at the turnaround halfway up the hill.
15 to get to the first segment, the turnaround that we mm-hmm. talked about. 15, the next 15, which would be a total of 30, gets down to the creek. 15,000 is the low water structure.
Right. So 53.
If you go with the high numbers, 45, you use the low numbers.
Okay.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Are we ready to make a decision to go somewhere? You want to think about this?
Let me chew on that.
I'll chew on it.
How many residents total?
Six homes across the way.
On the air side?
Mr. Burdine on the high side.
Seven homes.
Yes. Okay. First segment includes Mr. Burdine's residence. Second segment doesn't include any residents, gets us to the bottom of the hill. Crossing the creek is six additional residences.
Okay. Now we're not going to do anything on the road once you get across the creek.
That's not included in this estimate here. That's correct.
Okay.
I don't think there was even conversation about it.
I didn't think so. I just...
All right.
The next document I'll hand out to you is cost per mile, chip seal, hot mix, and gravel. There's a tremendous amount of work. I'd like to thank Kathy and Deborah for going through all of 2009 paperwork. And with the cartograph system, we're still on a learning curve. When I came to the county, we were hardly using this work management system at all. There still are some glitches in the system. We had 3,600 records that each one of them would have gone through in the past several weeks. Things are still miscoded, and there are still some inefficiencies or inadequacies in portions of the way that we keep our records. A lot of it has to do with the information that's turned into us from the supervisors. There is an activity, code activity listing that talks about different things that we do out in the field. This list started out at 156 different codes. That was much too many and too descriptive for our supervisors and lead workers to use as a template for the work that they did. We reduced this number down to 56 work activities. When manpower, equipment, and materials are used on a job, that creates a daily work order sheet. And last year alone, in 2009, there's 3,600 documents as to what was accomplished last year. The first sheet I gave you several weeks ago, this shortened version of what was obviously not the information that you were looking for, that's what it cost us to do that treatment on that particular day. The report that I'm giving you today encompasses all of the things that we do countywide in maintaining all of our road infrastructure. This includes such things as mowing, ditch repair, snow removal, brush trimming, just comprehensive list of all of these 3,600.
And those things you listed, we only maintain on the in the maintenance program roads.
That's correct.
Okay.
I've got a question for you. You can take this however you want to. I want to know how we ended up with 156 coded areas in road and bridge. Was it during your administrative side? Was it already there? Was the documentation partially there and added to?
It was already there. The 156 codes or activity codes were part of the CAND program. When Cartograph, the software, came to us, that was the coding that came with the program.
That came with the program that was ordered through Cartograph.
Yes. Some of them were not applicable to the work that we do here at the county.
So you tried to eliminate those.
We minimized the numbers so that it wouldn't be so confusing for the...
I totally agree with that. I just didn't have any idea how you could come up with 156 codings to try to send out to a workforce to spend more time on paperwork than they were on working is where I was concerned with. And so if you've tried to eliminate that, I'm fine with it. But to send to Harlan and Gene and their supervisors, and then Sam and Stottle and their supervisors, and try to code 156. Well, do I code it this way, or this way? Absolutely would not work.
And there's still issues with the activity codes that we have now. Along with the cost that you see in the information that I gave you, under chip seal roads, that also encompasses all of the improvements we've done on the roads that we've taken in. You asked last week or the week prior to that, what type of surfaces have we taken in? Here's a list of the, since 2007, of the roads that we've taken in to see what type of surfaces they were. And it's a mix of all of the surfaces that we have. Chip seal, hot mix, gravel, are all on this list.
If I could interrupt, you're out of time.
Yes, sir.
We've got a 9:45, then we got a 10, we got a 10:45. I was looking at our schedule here thinking we might table it.
There's no more time today.
But we're burning our time up.
Where do we have one?
Monday. We'll have to go back to we'll have to come back on Monday.
Is it Monday? Is your Monday or Tuesday? Your meeting with us is Monday afternoon, right?
Typically.
Let me ask you two quick questions, and so for research-wise, this doesn't include administration. This doesn't include your salary, Randy's, and the two ladies in the office.
Basically the office.
What is that dollar figure you're thinking?
For that office?
Mm-hmm. 300?
It's over two.
Okay.
I'd also like to say this report's not 100% accurate, and I can get into further details.
I think we better save that for the work session that we have on Tuesday with you.
Can you email me this document?
Yes.
This one that you've handed out?
I would like, and if she's listening, to block his time not to be changed, interrupted, or moved for Tuesday for Road and Bridge, if you're listening, Jillian.
We have him scheduled Monday at 1 o'clock, 1 to 2, because we have a 2 o'clock with animal control. We have him scheduled right now 1 o'clock on Monday.
Okay.
We haven't discussed dirt agreements. We haven't discussed Reno Springs and Meadow Lane, and also Aegis agreement.
Which Aegis agreement? The transfer station?
I'm assuming transfer station.
Okay. This is the second time that we've cut you off with our timing, so that's the reason I've requested that not be moved and note made of it on next Tuesday.
Probably more than a second, I think.
Well, I know, but I mean in a row for this last two times. So.
Okay.
If any of you would like to meet individually, I'd be more than happy to talk to you about these numbers that I provided you. It's very, very complex, and
that might be a good thing. We could maybe work that in.
If I could meet with you on an individual basis and try and answer any of your questions, and or possibly do more research, so that when we do get together on Monday, I'll have the answers that you specifically may be looking for, or attempt to have them.
That'd be Thursday or Friday.
I'd really like to get this behind us.
Me too. Okay. Someone had put sewer board appointment.
I put it on just because we hadn't dealt with it.
Okay.
And I was ready to make a decision. I mean, I hadn't talked to either one of you guys, but I knew that I think I maybe one of the ones that voted to table it last time.
Okay.
It's listed for sewer and planning and zoning. Is that correct?
No, I believe it's just sewer.
I thought it was supposed to have both.
What's it got on there?
Just planning and zoning. I mean, just sewer.
All says sewer board.
Okay. I requested planning and zoning too, because I was ready to do something with that. What I'm comfortable with my recommendation of Rob Johns and Nathan Easley.
Okay.
That's what I. So my motion is to approve Nathan Easley and Rob Johns to the sewer board.
Well, you had mentioned that before,
mm-hmm.
and so I was kind of expecting maybe that might be mm-hmm. your direction. And I've got some thoughts I'd like to share.
Sure.
I really feel like for us to replace Roy is not going to be best for our county. You've heard this before, but I think it's one of our very important responsibilities in who we pick for our boards, mm-hmm. planning, zoning, sewer, whatever it is. Just recently, we did the SB 40 board, and we had, as we do here, more people interested in serving than we had spots to serve. And we took a recommendation, I took a recommendation, outside of the board members, and that's what made my decision. And I think, looking back, I wish I would have done it differently. Since that time, I found out that the SB 40 board has bylaws, and in the bylaws, I don't have a copy of it, but my understanding is that in the bylaws, the procedure is that the commission will receive, well, somewhat like William asked us when we talked about this last time, will receive a recommendation from the board. And we didn't do that with SB 40. We took a recommendation, or we got the information from Max, the director, and we went with that. We didn't if I'm correct on that, we didn't follow those bylaws. My point in bringing that up is I think that's a wise thing. I think that's wise to have that, that we receive a recommendation from the board, whether it's sewer plan zoning, SB 40, IDA, or whatever it is. Those people work together. They've got lots of wisdom. They got lots of background in that board, and I think we should take from that experience when we make those decisions. I think if we look at currently, we're looking for an economic development director, and if I'm not mistaken, we've asked the IDA board to help us narrow down to two or three applicants out of all the applicants we get. That says to me that we believe that the IDA board has good wisdom and we trust them in giving us direction or guidance. And so for us to ignore our sewer board in this respect, I don't think it's good. I thought about, I've sat in many, many, many sewer board meetings. I knew Roy when I came on this commission as Debbie Case's husband. That's the only way I knew him. Now, Debbie Case is now Debbie Combs, needless to say. Went to school with my wife. I've come to know Roy from just sitting back there and watching the sewer board and his points that have been made, and I think he's a valuable member. And Danny's got to know him as a competitor in the last Western Commissioner race. Known him long before you had. He's a man of good character. He's been on the board, I think, experience. We look at people, and we have many people to choose from in these boards, and probably, I think we could safely say they all have good character. They have a good reason for serving, but we should look very strongly at the experience, the type of experience they've had in life. And as we get older, we realize that life experience teaches us things that we didn't have a clue about when we were younger. I think that's my points. So I'm needless to say, that's no secret, I'm very strong that we should consider Roy first, replacing Roy first, and then look at replacing the other position.
So you're within that your discussion part right now is that you'd like to hear from the board what their recommendations are.
We've already heard. They sent us a letter 2 months ago.
From the board or from?
From the sewer board. Okay. The sewer board sent us a letter. I had it with me last time we talked about this. I can get you a copy.
I thought it was just from an individual.
No, sir. It was the sewer board. Okay. William can come speak to that if you'd like.
Yes.
Come over here, William. There, we got a mic here.
Yes, we did present the commission with a letter from the board recommending that Roy be reappointed. And my main concern is not replacing and putting in a new face. My concern is doing two at one time. Is my main concern.
Two new people at one time,
right.
Or so.
Yes. I feel that, you know, the experience in Roy is there, is very valuable. And like I say, my main concern is just replacing two people at once.
Right. Well, gentlemen, we have these situations happen all the time. When the IDA board was established, we had five new faces that we had to appoint. And when we've had other replacements on planning and zoning, we've had as many as two or sometimes three new faces to reappoint. I hate that we've got into this discussion this morning, because when we look at members of the community and start evaluating, that is the job of the commission to try to do that and to place people on boards. We have people retire constantly. We had a great board member, if we want to go into the past, and Jasper Reynolds and other people that have served. And when they retired, we replaced them with a new face. And then at one time we had Russell, Larry came on within a time frame of 2 or 3 months on the board. So I hate to get into personality discussions. I did have a visit from one of the board members that wants to serve in this, a young man that wants to get interested in politics and wants to know the basis of how government functions all the way around, and is very involved in the community, and that was going to be one of my nominations, and the other nomination was going to lay within whoever. We run into this situations, and I got all kinds of phone calls from the SB 40 decision. It's another decision that we have to make that's a tough one. And when you have qualified people that are willing to serve on that capacity, and you have, I thought Max explained it the best, when you have qualified people that are new blood with new ideas, sometimes you might consider that a advantage. I believe that's the way he put it. So that's the reason we made our decision when we made our decision. Mr. Easley is going to be one of my definite votes. He came and talked to me. I ask that some of the others come and talk to me, and they didn't do so. And so I don't know what that's needed. Maybe they didn't want to talk to me, or maybe they didn't think it would do any good or what. But I have no problem in the replacing of Roy. Doesn't have anything to do with politics. Roy and I are friends. Roy and I have went through a campaign shaking hands, telling each other that everything was fine as far as we were concerned on it's everybody's right to have a competitor. That has nothing to do with an appointment whatsoever. And I think he knows that in his heart. If I decided to go with Mr. Johns, I think there was other people that were well-qualified that wanted to be on the board also.
You reminded me something, if I could interrupt just a second. Mr. Derby called yesterday.
Yes, he called.
He was busy with both of you, and y'all were out at the office, and he asked if I'd let you guys know that he was still very much interested.
He called me. He came to my office and visited. I made that mistake by saying there was only one. He did. He was the second guy that came to my office and visited, responded, asked to serve in some capacity, either in planning and zoning or the sewer board. So I appreciated the fact that he showed that interest. And it's a difficult decision. I'm like Chuck. I'm not sure that when we make those appointments, SB 40 and all those things, we had some people with their feelings hurt because they weren't reappointed, and I felt bad about that. I didn't know that their heart was so deep into what they were doing, they'd been there so long, I thought the breath of fresh air might have been good for them, you know, because there's responsibility behind each thing. But,
well, I, going back to that subject, I knew the one that was not renewed, I knew that she'd be hurt. I'd spent much time with her. And anyway, you mentioned your dad last time we talked about this, when he decided not to serve anymore. But he spent many, many years before he decided that. And there again, I think, says something for looking at somebody that's got some experience. Anybody else public want to speak, or are you going to make you a firm motion first?
Well,
was yours in the form of a motion?
Mine was.
Or?
Yeah, mine was. But I mean,
I'm going to second your motion.
Okay. Public discussion. Anybody want to speak up? Okay, I think I've said my piece pretty well.
I mean, the only thing I would say at this point is I have not looked at the bylaws of the sewer board to see if there's something that says we can't appoint two people at the same time. I don't know that. I don't know. You mentioned bylaws of the SB 40 board.
No. The point there was their bylaws say that the commission should see, whether it's one or two or three, that they should receive a recommendation on who's
right.
Who they would recommend, not the number.
Right. Okay.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Aye. Motion carries. Thank you for being here, William.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Folks. Next on our agenda is IDA. Is that our monthly thing, or do we have any issues we want to talk about? Ron, come on
up. I pulled up that's every month. Go ahead, Ron. Yeah, every month, 30 minutes. That's all it has.
That's the news for us. How'd your meeting go Monday? First airport was there, Branson Airport? Nope.
No.
Saw Mark Price last night, and I thought there was something about...
Oh, you're talking at the IDA board.
Yes,
I'm sorry.
The IDA board.
IDA board.
What we had been doing, although I would be delighted if in fact that's what you want me to report on, is the IDA board meeting that happens on a monthly basis.
I
was talking about projects, but at the IDA board, yes, Jeff Bork was there and another individual. They were interested in recovery zone bonds. The county has the availability to utilize from the economic development sector, the public sector. We were allocated $335,000. The airport is very interested in the possibility of utilizing those funds. The board gave me the directive to talk with Carson Eliff, an attorney in Springfield, Missouri, who had handled the developmental connections when we worked on the recovery zone bonds there and Arrowhead. And I did have that conversation the next morning with Mr. Eliff and put he and Jeff Bork directly into communication with one another, with the caveat that if, in fact, we could stretch that $335 to a higher amount, if the state were somehow willing to do that, whether it be the public sector or the private side, which is what we utilized on the others, to take a look at that and then report back to the IDA board. So that is in the process. Ron Potter from City of Forsyth and Dave Oliphant were also at that meeting. Listening to that discussion, they became interested, brought it back to the city council meeting in Forsyth. Forsyth is also very interested in the possibility of utilizing recovery zone bonds in the building, or in a couple of projects where, in fact, they will be building where they think that they might fit. So I have also put Mr. Potter in contact with Carson, and we are pursuing that to see if the city of Forsyth would be eligible. You as a county commission have the ability, if there is not another use for those funds, to pass them through to an incorporated area within the county. And obviously Forsyth would meet that criteria. The deadline to utilize those is July 1st, so we have to allocate those dollars by that time, use them or lose them.
The reason the airport was involved, they got a hold of me. They are in the process of building hangars out there. They have started the funding process to build hangars out there, and one set of hangars is approximately the same price of this bond. The reason that was interest because the county technically owns the land. It's a 50-year lease, so it would be a county. That's why we could use the bonds the way we could use them. And that's why he came to the idea, because he said, what's the next step? I said, you need to go to Tim Collins. Tim said, come to the board meeting and discuss it. That's where why Jeff got involved.
Carson is also exploring to make sure that a private entity setting upon public property can, in fact, use those. He felt very positive about it when I had the first discussion with him. So hopefully that'll be something that can move forward sooner rather than later. The next step would be, if, in fact, that's the case, that they would put the paperwork together, present it to IDA. IDA would come to you all with a recommendation for the use of those bonds and ask for your approval.
Very good. Like I said, I ran on to Mark Weiss and after Ranson's meeting last night and visited with him a minute. He gave me a little of that. Mm-hmm. And then I also made the Forsyth meeting Monday night, and they'd mentioned that you had brought this to their attention on their storm safe shelter, possibly mm-hmm. using them on that project. And I forget what the other one was. It seemed like they had something else. But anyway, they were very much, Ron mentioned, they were very much interested. So
they're also interested, City of Forsyth, in the USDA community facilities portion of wherein there may be dollars available nationally that we can go after for the construction of fairgrounds, parks, bricks and mortar. And we have one of the grants writers that is investigating those opportunities for us. Exactly. But City of Forsyth is very interested. Actually, there are two. Debbie Redford's looking at it, and Barb Boley both are looking at it. Just good. Doing some behind-the-scenes look-sees, if you will, to see if the dollars are available. What we heard when we were in D.C. was there's a boatload of money that's available, so very strong on the dollars available, but that there wasn't much discussion about what the criteria is to get that, and there's a lot of criteria that you fall within the LMI or what your poverty levels are, et cetera. So you have to add those two things together to see if, in fact, we can go after the dollars in specific areas, and we're in the process of doing that as well.
Have you ever heard that term before, the boatload of money?
Yeah.
Those kind of discussion.
Ron, I'm... you were at the federal level, and we had the head of parks, state parks, here with the governor Mark Templeton, day before yesterday. And so what I'm wondering is if our park board, with a letter to the IDA, to Mark Templeton, you working with him to seek federal funds. I mean, I think this thing is going to go, because I don't know how much money the state has. I wanted to ask him that question, but time would not allow that. I was planning on writing a letter to him or calling him or something. He'd give me a card to voice about fairgrounds. Dave Oliphant and I had a real good conversation. I was just kind of a bystander in the conversation about the need for Taney County to have a fairgrounds and a park for the county. And we stood there in the hallway and had a lengthy discussion about the core flooding, what we had as a facility now. So I would be interested in that procedure taking place. I know we'll get the full endorsement of our county park board, the city of Forsyth with the their cooperation. The fair board has already voiced cooperation in trying to locate fairgrounds and this and that. If there's monies available, and the way I understand the different amounts of grant money, that this may be one where there is a large amount of money. I'm not going to use the same terms that you boys used on boatload, but the thing of it is we need to seek
it. I was actually
it.
Using the term the lady used. She was the undersecretary for USDA.
So I would like to seek those through the effort of the park board, to you, to the state, to the federal level, because I think that's the way it'll come down. The recommendation from the state level to get those federal dollars. You can seek them, but I think it would really help if you had a endorsement letter from the state.
Yes.
So are you guys again that procedure?
Yeah.
Nope.
And heading that way and seeing how much we could make available for...
Mr. Templeton opened the door for us. He turned to me during the governor's presentation and said, is my staff treating you right? Are you getting what you need? Are they answering all your questions? He said, feel free anytime to come by and talk. And I said, I'll be there next week, Mr. Templeton. And he smiled, and I said, no. I said, I'd like to come and sit and talk with you about the projects that we have. And he welcomed that. So we have the opportunity to do that very thing now.
I'm all for it. I'm ready for you to go up and...
Okay.
And do you need a letter from the commission or an endorsement from our park board? Or we've got three or four entities that are involved here. The city would like to be...
I don't know if we need an endorsement letter at this point. I just need to be comfortable...
Application?
Well... I mean, you tell me which...
Well, my opinion is to go sit down informally with the gentleman since he's made the invitation. He's the director of the Department of Natural Resources. The other gentleman that was with him, and right now his name eludes me, was over Parks and...
It was Bill...
I have it, and I apologize for not remembering right now. But the first thing is to make the contact with him. I know the people, Doug Garrett and others that work under him that I've been working directly with. But this is a great opportunity to have him sit, maybe two or three of us sit down with him and chat about two or three projects that we have. That certainly would be first and foremost. As you're aware, the idea of fairgrounds has been one of my passions for a number of years. Almost every county in the state of Missouri, regardless of how small they are, have fairgrounds, permanent fairgrounds. And it's just something that I think that we should be pointed in the direction and pursuing.
Okay. Did we get our bond issue? Was that all we were going to talk about on that, or did
you're I guess we're waiting on the entities to have some conversations regarding that facilities bond. There's no action we have to do right now, correct?
On the recovery zone bonds, none whatsoever. We're waiting to see that they put the project in place, the paperwork together, that everything is cleared, then to the IDA board recommendation, then to you for final approval, and then off to the state.
Okay.
And, boy, I highly recommend utilizing those funds, because if we don't, it's very unlikely that in the future we'll be given another allocation.
Right.
We've
used part though, didn't we?
Right. We were offered two different types. One was for the private sector,
right.
One was for the public, and we used the private sector.
Yeah, we haven't used the public side.
Very good.
The legislatively, I think there's a legislative, and this is something that it's not on the agenda, but it relates to the IDA or economic development. Legislative conference for MAC is coming up in 2 weeks. I'm already plan to be there. I think it's April 12th is when I'm going. It's an all-day event. I have the agenda, but I would like to know if Ron obviously is a MAC director also. He's been there for years. We have budget dollars. We've allowed $3,500 in our IDA budget for such expenses, and I've got the current, we're all emailed the current budget. I think we're talking mileage in a hotel room for 2 days, basically. It's an all-day event on the 12th. I know you're aware of it. You were emailed the same thing. All day the 12th, and it ends at 8 o'clock the 12th night. So if we gave them, either have them spend the night Sunday night, because it starts at 8 o'clock in the morning in Jeff City, or stay the night Monday night, he could spend the next day with DNR or whatever and schedule it. But I'd like the commission to okay before he expends that hotel room. I mean, before he spends any money, allow him to go to the hotel room and the food-related expenses based off our budget availability of IDA.
And I missed, did you just say you wanted me to set up a meeting with the commission and DNR?
No. What I was saying was, I'm going to be there, and if we pay for you to be there for the legislative site, which is part of what you're doing anyway, mm-hmm. you could just spend the extra day and spend with DNR.
That's
a good time to do
it. I think that's a good idea, especially if we're going to pursue these fair.
Well, I mean, I just think we need to take advantage of the invitation. I don't think they invite. It was a very casual environment, so I have a feeling with that invitation, it doesn't give it to just anybody. So, and we need to take advantage of that invitation when it's still fresh on his mind, too.
When I do go up, I don't try. What I will do, if that is the case, is also schedule DED, Department of Economic sure. Development, where we have other pending projects, and talk with those that are in the House that are on the appropriation side, wherein we still have an opportunity for dollars and pursue multiple opportunities.
I'm looking at my calendar here. It is the 12th is the MAC Board of Directors Legislative Conference, and we have a slate of speakers on Monday, on that Monday. It's all day Monday from 8 to 8 o'clock, and the last, it ends up at a 6 o'clock reception with legislators, ends over at 8. So.
Okay, and then what you're saying is the next morning for him to go? Try to get your scheduling where you the next morning you meet with all these people that you're talking about, because this is filled with legislative.
I mean, you'll have maybe an hour meetings. Or so break in there that you could, but I just think that I'd like to see the county, since we have budget, to go ahead and pay for his to go and double up the time to maximize.
An invitation like was presented and the discussion that Dave Oliphant had with him, I think it would be, I'll second the motion if you need it in the form of a motion.
Can we give him the direction? We can vote on it when the expenses come back, and if we don't, if someone doesn't like the expenses, then they can vote against the accounts payable at that point. But
yeah.
Unless we need a motion now, but I didn't post it for
a motion.
Yeah, I didn't post it for a motion, just direction, because you ultimately vote when it comes to the accounts payable.
Question, Ron, you made the comment that about going next week to see. That's going to be before April 12th. Is that a problem?
What
do you need? Was it? You feel like you had it? You need to be there next week?
No, I haven't contacted him. I just took advantage of the opportunity when he said that to turn to him and said, I'll be there next week.
Okay.
To let him know that I'm ready to come in and talk with him at any time. So it really doesn't make any difference to me. I just didn't want to lose the chance to let him know.
That's what I'm saying.
We're ready to talk.
You need to follow up with him saying, instead of next week, how about April 12th? Is that what you're thinking?
Well, this is.
I'd make contact right away and say.
Not schedule it.
Because let's be honest, his schedule is going to be weeks out in advance. I mean, for him to think that he'll be available next week, pretty far fetched. I mean, we schedule 2 weeks in and out. So by just the mere conversation saying, I know your schedule busy, how's the 12th or the 13th?
Yeah.
That gives him time to juggle the schedule, and I think there'd be a better chance of success of actually meeting versus. He's flying around with the governor. So
results from the meeting, the success rate will be a lot better if we let him set it for that.
Yeah, I think if we go out 2 weeks in advance, we'd be more successful on that. So.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
I'm okay with that.
Okay. So can I jump around here? Do you have the reports you gave to the? Did you give a report to the IDA board?
I didn't take a written report. I just talked to them and answered questions. I have actually had sent them a report 2 weeks before because the meeting was supposed to be the week before.
Sure.
So I didn't take any written documents with me when I went over.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know if you may have sent it to me. It's been a little busier. Can you make sure I get a copy of whatever you send to the IDA board?
I can.
Okay.
Certainly.
Just send it to all. When you send it to them, send us a copy. That way we at least get a monthly update of what you're working on.
You bet.
Priorities, everything else is. Urgency changes all the time.
I send them a written report a week before their meeting regarding all projects, and I will include the three of you.
I don't think I'm getting it.
I haven't been sending it to you.
The agenda
to
notice.
The three of you.
Okay,
the agenda notice.
Yeah, I haven't been getting that. I don't think
it's the third Monday of each month, and one of the commission secretaries posts it. But
it gets posted. That's the way I see it.
That's how I see it too.
But if you're sending it to the board, it'd be nice for us.
Yeah,
to
it doesn't come from me, but I will ask them to include you all.
Oh, does Tim send that?
Tim sends it to Nikki, and Nikki posts for us.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't generate it. It's generated by Timothy.
Right. I really, since whatever happened, don't have much relation with them other than to give them an update on economic development and projects on a monthly basis.
Did you guys discuss EEZ, Enhanced Enterprise Zones, at all?
That was part of their discussion.
Can you give me a little summary of what the discussion was, or what stages are they at
Jeff,
right now?
Jeff Seifried.
Oh, Seifried. Yep.
He has been working with the state of Missouri regarding what potentially could be a designated area for the EEZ within Taney County.
Okay.
And how they adjust that within the county, I don't know. The state does that. But there was a part that included part of Forsyth that was excluded, which is really the area near Corey Boulevard that includes the old Glenn's Market, where the city is very interested in doing something with that facility and others. So Jeff agreed then to take that back to the state and to rework the map that they currently had to see if they could change that to include, which he felt 100% sure that they could.
Okay.
So that should be forthcoming for soon.
Did you say that?
Yes.
Could you get a copy of the map for us?
Sure.
I mean, that's something that's going to come up. I mean, I'd just like to see
they're looking at.
I haven't seen it, so yeah.
Yeah, I'll be delighted to ask him for a copy of that.
Yeah.
Tim has that.
Yeah, but that would be great if I know they've been talking, but I'd heard they were talking about the whole entire county, which would not go over well. But then I heard that they're redrawing lines, but I haven't seen what they're redrawing.
I saw Dr. Hyder in the hall, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, and mentioned to him that I'd heard there was a discussion out there, and from the previous meeting that Seth had with the state DED or whoever it was that came down and spoke, that it wasn't a positive thing. And I just wanted him to know that discussion was out there, and it was a very short conversation, but I think he's open
mm-hmm.
to listening
right.
again. So at some point we need to work on that possibly.
I guess if they get the map narrowed down to the lines would change, and then we probably just need to have another public discussion like we did at the airport 2 or 3 years ago with Seth.
Now, this is my thoughts, not his thoughts, but my thoughts is if it can be shown, it's kind of like my axe that I grind with the TIF. I'm not against all TIFs.
Right.
If you can show me that a TIF is truly going to bring in increased dollars, incremental dollars, and it's not just moving stuff around like I think has happened mostly.
The
zone. Yeah, the EEZ. I think what I heard Dr. Hyder saying is they'll listen if you got something that is concrete looking that
right.
is really an increase that is really going to help both parties that's involved. So anyway, my point is that I think we need to work on that at some point. That maybe the map includes the whole county. I mean, if the school districts are sold that we're not going to dump something like we got TIF dumped on us again.
Right.
I keep grinding that axe, but it was just dumped on us. I think if the schools were involved and had a very strong voice in the decision, it'd be a different discussion.
Actually, as I understand, well, and I understand very little of it, but what I was listening to in the meeting, the area to be designated had to be contiguous, but there was a lot of area that was not included, and it's based upon, again, low to moderate income, which comes into play, so you have to be at a certain level of low to moderate income for the EEZ to be implemented in the first place. So they have, when they're drawing it, that has to be taken into consideration. So there was quite a bit of area that was not included in it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, was it Webster County they talked about, or some county not too far away had done the whole county? Wait, it was a story I heard.
Yeah, there's multiple counties within the state have done the entire county.
And so possibly the whole county fits that criteria if that's the case.
There are some counties that are.
And maybe our county does too. I don't know.
It's based on I think there's a bunch of factors, obviously, to the EEZ. But I'm understanding that I've heard counties do complete counties and then do contiguous smaller industrial park areas. So,
bottom line, I'm all for working and looking at that as we have time to do it.
Right.
Suzette, some of them have been successful with it.
Suzette, the lady that I met with at MAC Board.
Atchison County.
She just did a small section.
Did she?
Yeah, that county just did a small section. That's when they got the wind farms got put in. So.
No, that's a very rural county, and
they could have done the whole county, but they chose to do just one section that they didn't care what went in there. If anything came in there, they were going to be very happy.
The take I got from the state when they did that was more small sections. I mean, they do a small area; they didn't do the whole county. That one comment that I heard about Webster, whoever it was the first time I heard them doing the whole county. So, very good. Didn't mean to wear that out.
That's all I had. If you wouldn't mind sending me what you sent the board 2 weeks ago, I may have individual questions, or people may ask me something. I'd just like to know something.
Sure.
And then that way.
That was a shorter period of time. But I will do that, and I'll start sending you all the future ones as well. I will make this comment, if that's all right, regarding, since I've taken over some projects that I hadn't been involved in that are more directly with staff that we have in the courthouse, this energy grant was really a complicated grant compared to many of the grants that I've been working on. And the fact that the team that was in place, I have been sitting down with Jillian and Linda, Debbie Redford. I just want to tell you that the girls upstairs have been putting a lot of time in on that particular grant, and there's a lot of that that's very complicated, and we should make note that they've done a really good job.
The exciting part about the whole deal is that we have administrative fees in there that we can pay for Debbie and pay for our energy audit now. Debbie and I and Barbara and I, we talked and found out that there was $8,400 in administrative fees.
Really?
Yeah, they got approved part of the grant. So we just got to work through the details of how we can apply for those. Because it doesn't reimburse anything we've spent, but only new invoices. And
well, there's, y'all are going to be, there's going to be some environmental assessments. There's going to be some different things that are going to be done. And somebody, whether it's Barbara, whether it's Debbie or whomever, is going to have to do those for us. And that's going to incur or eat up part of that.
For and sure. I'm supposed to meet with Debbie. Debbie and I are going to sit down and with Barbara and discuss on a conference call pretty soon. Those two are going to discuss and then give you and the group back an update of what those fees basically digested. I think what we had a conference call basically. We have some reports due next month sometime, and we needed to work through. They needed to all talk and figure out who's doing the reporting. It's an online application that we have to fill out stuff online.
First report's due April 2nd.
So they're trying to figure out who has the availability, who should reside. They're going to come up with recommendations and come back to us with the process part to the commission. They're going to either Debbie or Jillian or Linda or all of them together with Ron. It's hard to say, but I know we had a report. We have a report due. We have no expenditures, but we have a report due in April.
April what? Did you say first?
Second.
Second?
I'm pretty sure that's correct.
Okay. What else?
Nope, that's it.
Thank you, gentlemen.
I guess I do have one question. We had pretty good attendance yesterday. We had an issue on board attendance. I know Mark was there at the IDA. I said yesterday, Monday, IDA.
I think all of the IDA board members but one were there.
Good. Good deal.
And that person wasn't there because they had already set up appointments since the IDA board meeting was supposed to be the week before.
Rescheduled.
But they moved it.
Right. Okay, we've got next one's
10:45.
So you want a break?
Or? I do.
All right, let's break till 10:45. Who's going to talk to us about manhole?